This is a rain replay.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, this is the Rain Report. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY. It's who you know that counts. Negotiating for and navigating the setting up of a demo amateur radio station in a shopping mall, a retired U.S. battleship, a museum, or any other public place is often fraught with politics, and that can be applied to Field Day, too. But none of these compare to the red tape David Collingham, K3LP, encountered, organizing a 14-day de-expedition to the island of Socotra, literally overnight. It was April 2012. Place was Socotra Island, IOTA AF-028, CQ Zone 37, in the Republic of Yemen. Socotra is a small archipelago of four islands that lie 240 kilometers east of the Horn of Africa and 380 kilometers south of the Arabian Peninsula. What made the de-expedition even more difficult to get approved was that the island is recognized by UNESCO as a World Natural Heritage Site and Environmental Heritage. Socotra is considered the jewel of biodiversity in the Arabian Sea. Isolation of Socotra Archipelago and its fierce heat and drought have combined to create a unique and spectacular endemic flora. 37% of the plant species on Socotra are found nowhere else on Earth. Socotra is one of the most isolated landforms on Earth of continental origin. To complicate matters, Socotra Island belongs to the Republic of Yemen, a most politically charged Middle East country. The team leader of this 7 Oscar 6 Tango de-expedition was Russian communications expert and inveterate de-expeditioner and Russian ham, Dmitry Zakharov, RA-9 USU. The following is an excerpt from a 2013 Dayton Hamvention Forum talk by Dmitry. He was introduced by inveterate de-expeditioner David Cullingham, K3LP.
I've been on over 60 de-expeditions, about 78 different countries, and my wife always says to me, "Are you going anywhere this year?" And I tell her the standard answer, "I don't think so." I want to introduce to you guys a very dear friend of mine. I've been with DEMA on many different de-expeditions. And when you guys get on 40 and we get those messages, says, "Can you slow him down? This is that animal." When we went to Yemen the first day on the operation, 17,000 some odd QSOs the first day with 5 radios. That's smoking, guys. If you notice on this de-expedition, 162,000 QSOs in roughly 14 days of operating. It was a beautiful, beautiful effort. A lot of this comes from you guys as well. Without your patience and ability to work with us and get in sync, literally last year when we were at Visalia, I'm driving there up from San Bernardino. I have a little bit of work in the Riverside area. Headed up to Visalia, and Dima says, "You know how we talked about doing this de-expedition to Yemen?" I said, "Yes." And he says, "Well, you know, I'm over here, and they want to go now." And so they want to go now, but Dima, I've already slated my time into June, and we're going to do it at the end of the June. And he says, "Well, do you think I ought to fire up the radio and get on the air now?" Most of the time, you guys know that once you turn the radio on, if you're there for a day, I think at KP5 or something, once you're there for a day and you turn the radio on, a lot of things start to happen. A lot of people start getting involved. So sometimes you get away with it for a day, and if it's one person a day, it's not much. So I think the conversation was, "Dima, you can't cut me out of the deal. Don't turn the radio on." And at the time, we had all the neat things set up, you know, radios, antennas, and everything like that. So as this thing moved, literally, we had about 2 days. I have Paul, Dave, WD5COV. We met in Visalia, and we said, "We got to go, right? We need names now. We need to buy airline tickets. We need to go." We didn't have time to say, "Hey, we'd like to have your support." So that's how the deal started. And even then, we couldn't talk to you and say, "Hey, we're going," because we're just as excited as you are, right? How many people in here thought that 7 Oscar would even happen? Not a chance, right? It's kind of like P5, right? Not a chance. So 7 Oscar did come about, and through some quick movements, and Harry was involved, we started coordinating, and we realized this whole idea of a container and beams and antennas and everything showing up and being shipped, all that stuff's out the door. As a matter of fact, we knew we had one opportunity to get this stuff into the country. Literally, as a collective group showing up at the same airport, getting into the country, a couple of special handshakes and someone taking us through interesting paths to get the equipment in one time. Meaning we couldn't have 10 or 11 guys showing up saying, "I'm coming on to the expedition, I got the radio right here." Everything had to be nice and easy at once. So anything got in there, and even then, we didn't make any announcement that we were going to be on the air to literally the day of getting on the air. That's how secure it was. What I want you to think about in your backyard, 150 by 200 or something like this, you got five radios and every antenna you possibly can set up and ready to go. And you need to do 17,000 QSOs the first day. There's some people who are very tense because the interference is unbelievable. But this is what we had to deal with. When you talk about a de-expedition, were we in any danger? I know a lot of people talk about, well, you know, we're so much danger that we really couldn't operate with our antennas anywhere. It was no different on this trip. All of our antennas went on the roof right where we're at. Were we at risk? You know, at midnight, walking a quarter of a mile down the road in the middle of the dark, and you hear people coughing, sleeping underneath cars and goats. It's, and you're hearing about drone attacks. We weren't scared. You know, on any de-expedition, there's different people with the different assets. And when I talk about assets, sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's operator skill, sometimes it's the ability to get there or a mixture of those. I want to thank the depths of my heart to the Russian guys. You really kicked some serious butt. It was really nice to see you guys step up, and we never have any difficulty with the guys really working and operating CW. Nobody, I guarantee, on this trip really laid back and didn't put all their efforts forward. What I want you to think about when you go on a de-expedition, you say, how do these guys figure how many Qs they're going to make? I'm looking at 3,000 to 4,000 Qs per radio. When I go on a de-expedition with our team, we're on the air within an hour of arriving. We're trying to maximize that and on the way out. So when you look at a de-expedition and they have 6, 10, 15 radios, you ought to be looking at about 3,000 Qs. And then you can judge the effectiveness of that trip real quickly. Obviously, sometimes you have the issue with the band being out, but that's a good number to use. Besides 162,000 Qs, we worked everybody and their brother and a few guys in Los Angeles that were in their mother's basement on a dipole. It was really a beautiful thing, but I want to be on the record with this. On a lot of de-expeditions, I really have busted my ass coordinating and doing different things. I talked to Udima a few times along the way. We actually set up to coordinate equipment and radios, but in the last minute, Dima was able to secure this trip literally by himself and use his own cash, his wallet, getting in and out of there. I don't know how many people in this room can cough up $25,000 cash and then a little bit on the side without getting approval. Without that $25,000, we would have not started anywhere. What I want you guys to do is to get the essence of how this de-expedition really came about. How did it get approved? How did the connection come about? And it just shows that major de-expeditions like this, sometimes they don't come about because of driving the policy this way, but through some other avenues. So I want Dima to share with us the real background behind getting this license and how beautiful it was. Seven Oscar would never have happened without his efforts. So please give him a big round of applause.
Yeah, first of all, it all happened when we went to Libya with Dave and Krasi and become a friend. Then I still got in touch with a few of the guys in Libya. One day I just heard rumors that one of the team leaders of Yemen got the permission to operate from Yemen, but cannot go there because it's too scary. Well, scary for Russians is nothing scary for anybody. So it was just, so I just decided to go there to check why somebody else has got the license and we're not. So I sit on a plane called Khrane, a friend of mine, and we went there to check. The first thing you know, you go to a ministry, try to arrange everything, and they said, no, ham radio? No way. So we decided to go to Aden, which is supposedly more friendly for amateur radios in the past. We went there, and they said, no, you cannot get any license. It was 2010. So we cruised around in the car, and we just went back home. But I kept the friendship relationship with the doctor. Yaroslav is a Russian doctor, been working like 18 years in Yemen, anesthesiologist. So he pretty much knows everybody in the country. Anywhere you go, military chief or he just knows everybody. Everybody knows him.
You're listening to a 2013 Hamvention talk by David Cullingham, K3LP, and Dmitry Zakharov, RA9, USU. Detailing the planning and politics behind the 2012 7 Oscar 6 Tango de-expedition to Yemen. We'll conclude this excerpt from his presentation in a moment. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
So one day I was trying to arrange another DX expedition and was sitting in the office. Let me call Yaroslav. Maybe it's going to work out. So I call him. Next thing you know, he said, you know what? If it's for you personally, I'll help you. I said, okay, this is for me personally. Go ahead, help me. And very same evening, he calls me and said, listen, I'm sitting with the guy, and he needs to know exactly what you want. You have 15 minutes. I said, okay. I called Dave, said, listen, I have 15 minutes. What should I do? I have radios. We're going to take the radios. And I just steal everything from our website, the previous the expedition. So I put the list of the radios, and I send them. Next thing you know, they called me and said, but how much is going to weigh? I said, like 400 kilos. And they're like, okay, what kind of antenna? And I send the links for Sierra Tango Zero Radio, the expedition. He calls me back and said, are you crazy? You're going to send the containers to here? Because there is a location, STZR, was in the containers with the huge antennas and everything. I said, no. This is a container. This is a hotel in the South Sudan. So we're not going to bring the containers, just radios and antennas. Next thing you know, he said, it's going to cost that much to arrange everything. I said, oh, there is no way I can do it myself. I need a team of people. We're going to make it big. Okay, you have 15 minutes to prepare the list of the person. Immediately, I was thinking like, okay, I'm a RA9 USU. It's in like in 1980s, United States, Soviet Union. So I decided to make a team, 5 Russians, 5 Americans to go. And okay, so I boost the piece of paper, like any people I can find. I know only a certain amount of people I can trust to go, and I can take care of. If I'm going to lose everything, I'm just going to lose everything. Then they're going to pain, just tell me like, oh, you're so bad. Because I remember the experience of Delta X-ray, Zero Delta X-ray. So I decided, okay, I'm going to buy everything. I'm going to pay for everything. If everything's going to work out, nice. Everybody going to be very happy. If not, then I'm screwed. But it's me. So he said, okay, 15 minutes, I gave them a list, 21 guys, because I don't know who can go, who cannot. Just put the old people I know. So he said, 21 people, you're crazy. You cannot do that much. Let's cut it in half. I was like, can you cut it like in the 15 range? Because then we at least have a flexibility, because I called Dave, he said, well, going there May, no way, you cannot do it. Let's do it in June. But, you know, some kind I felt that this guy will not really appreciate if I said, let's do it, but in November, it's a good, better propagation and everything. So he just said, okay, give me another 15 minutes. So I was waiting and waiting. He calls me back and said, listen, we can do it 15 guys for 15 days, but it have to be right now. I said, why? Because there is no way you can do it later. And the funny thing is that we started on April 30th, which is May 1st, and the guy who made that possible actually left for Kuwait on the 1st, and he still works in Kuwait now. So if it wouldn't be in that exact date of starting, it never would have happened again. It just never would have done. Because this guy helped arrange. And we had the 3 choices of a position. The first position was Kafkaban. It's a mountain area, which is pretty much open everywhere. But I don't think we can bring Americans to the team if it would have been like 30 kilometers away from Sana'a, because you never know what's going to happen. You cannot control mountains. And Sana'a, it's like a deep, deep hole surrounded by mountains. You cannot operate from there. So we decided to go to Socotra. It's more expensive. You have to bring the radios. You have to pay for overweight. You have to bring the people to the island. Not even thinking about IOTA or anything. It just was quicker and much easier to start operating from Socotra than start from mainland of Yemen. Because you never know how quick and how fast you could be shut down because of the antennas. You know, one of these VDA antennas, they look like a cross. So if you send one of those antennas next, it's not funny, not funny. When you have those crosses right next to the mosque, and when you operate, all this sounds like. So it's not really funny when you're there. So when you cross this from one hotel to another hotel, and then you look at these crosses, like, oh, damn crap. It's a good antennas, but you don't want to push it too far. And I'm telling you, if it wouldn't be for the amateur radio guys I trust, I didn't know who to put on the list. If I'd never been on a team with the Paul, with the Dave before, I didn't have the operators. Just why Harry was on the list? We work in the same office. I cannot take him with me because, you know, if I don't take him, then he's not going to pay me a salary. He's going to say, why you went to the expedition? I called my wife and said, listen, I'm going to be in Cairo for 3 days. And then I disappear for a month to Yemen. And she's like, oh, when are you going to come back? You know, I'm planning to come back tomorrow, right tomorrow. But I have a slight issues because they put all my equipment in the passport. They don't let me out. Because I brought the TS-590, brought the amplifier and the vertical antenna, and I left it on the Socotra because I was showing what the radio is to the minister guys operating RE9 USU Portable 7. So no pileup, no nothing. They said, okay, you can do this. Why not? And then I went back trying to leave to at least like a couple days to Moscow, and I couldn't. Because they say, oh, you left the radio there? It's in your passport? There is no way you can leave anywhere. So I called my wife and said, you know, I slightly get in delay for another 3 weeks or so. That's why I'm not staying longer in Dayton than New York. I'm going back home until Monday. And another thing is that the day I arrived to Yemen, I went to Russian embassy. I met with the Russian ambassador for attaches, and I explained them that we're planning to arrange the expedition and everything to tell them we have like 15 guys, 10 guys at the time, all the time. And I tell them exactly what's going to happen in case we're going to be catched somewhere and they will call the embassy. Oh, we found the pirates. We found the, you know, one of those spies, Russian spies on the island. So at least they prepared that, well, there's a amateur radio guys here on the island. We're just operating, just playing the radio. In Russia, everybody's saying, we work on the radio. But as soon as you said that in Yemen, we work, oh, work. Where's the money? Where's the money coming from? So in the last day we left, the guys come to me and said, listen, but now is everything finished, right? You operated. Beautiful. So what's the catch? What's the catch? Why did you do that for? All this, bring these, what's the reason? And they still don't understand the hobby. For them, it's like stupid people. Thousands of dollars of renting the hotel, paying the internet $25 a person a day for just checking your email with the, like, I tried to call you, you don't hear me, you stupid operator. You're like, and they look at you like, oh, damn, these people are crazy. Why don't you guys can't come to our beautiful island of Socotra with no freaking radios, with no antennas, just enjoy the island. Island is beautiful. Don't sit in one tiny apartment sitting and beeping or something. Because they were looking at us like, oh, crap, this is a sandy beach, white sand. The best beautiful island on the earth. It's like UNESCO heritage site. It's a place you can spend the rest of your life enjoying the nature. And you're sitting in the hotel, sometimes with the air conditioner. And what are you doing? Well, thanks God. You know, I'm very happy to see all of you guys who's sharing the same hobby I do. At least I enjoy it because we're doing it for you and for us.
The voices of diehard de-expeditioners David Collingham, K3LP, and Dmitry Zakharov, RA9 USU, who teamed up to carry out the 2012 706T de-expedition to Yemen. We excerpted from the DX Forum held at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2014 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.